on this, our theme verse for lesson one, which is Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now, underline those four key words, and then, as it says, all four of those with gratitude. But remember, as we discussed last week, you cannot do any of those things without first having received Christ Jesus. Humans love lists, don't we? We love a list. And we're thinking, oh goody, a list. This will help me become a better Christian. This will help me become a better person. You can work all of your life doing those four things and fail and be counted disqualified at the end if you don't first receive Christ Jesus as the Lord. So that's number one. But let's, or the first thing we need to do. But number one, as we're looking at these, want to look at these four metaphors, which will be the four first blanks on the bottom of page two there. Walk in the truth. So we want to walk in the truth. That's the first thing that Colossians, Paul was talking to the church of Colossae and the people of Colossians. He said, walk in the truth. Number two, root yourself in those truths. He said, let your roots grow deep. Be rooted in the truth. Number three, build your life on those truths. Don't build your life on false human expectations or humanism or carnality or your own ability. Did you hear what the man said in the interviews at the beginning of tonight, that video I played? He said, when we sin, we're trying to un-God God. I thought that was interesting the way he put that. In other words, we're trying to be God of our own life. But we are to surrender our life to God. We are to place our full confidence, receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and surrender our lives to Him. And then we'll be able to walk in the truth, root ourselves in the truth, build our life on the truth. And number four, establish yourself in those truths. Look, it's not enough just to start. We've got to finish, and you've got to be committed. One of the attributes of God that we'll be studying is faithfulness, His faithfulness. Well, establishing yourself means that you're established in the faith, that you're not going to be wishy-washy. You're not going to be on one day and off the next. You're going to be faithful to serve God, faithful to walk in Him, faithful to root yourself in His truths, faithful to try to strive and build your life foundation that God's provided. And that establishing is just that, making sure that we are consistent and that we're focused and that we're sure. And we'll talk about these in more detail here in just a moment as we're going to be breaking down these four even further. But look at what he says at the close of verse 7. He says, doing all of this with gratitude. We're to enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. We're to have thanksgiving. We just came out of that season and now into the Christmas season during this particular time scale that we're doing this recording and sharing this message live tonight. If you're watching it back later, we're to be thankful all year long for what God's done for us. We're to celebrate Christmas all year long for God so loved the world that He sent, He gave His only begotten Son. So we do this with gratitude because this is not a job. This is not a to-do list. These four things are not a to-do list. They are keys to us being successful in the kingdom of God. They're keys to us being able to unlock the blessings of God. They're keys to us being able to strive to be like the Lord and to trust the Lord and to not be confused by every wind of doctrine or even what the world is saying is right. Because what the world is saying is right most of the time is wrong. Many of the times fly against God's Word. And so having gratitude that God has given us His Word, that He's given us His Son, a picture of Himself in physical form, is just something we need to be thankful for tonight. All right, look again at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So let's go ahead and look now the next part of this. Last week we talked about the fact that we needed to let these truths shrink us. We talked about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and we played that little video clip of those kids back in that old movie being shrunk, that Disney movie. Well, then you saw that huge broom coming across, sweeping the kids over the floor. And you know, we need to be shrunk when we see the immensity of God, the enormousness of His greatness and goodness. We need to be shrunk. We need to, as the man said in the video, be humbled by the power of God's all-encompassing grace and mercy, but also His self-existent. He's not dependent on anyone. He is completely independent from needing anyone or anything. He did not have a beginning. He's always been. And that is incomprehensible for us. But we can accept that by faith and believe. So let's go ahead and jump back into, after we've a little bit, let's go ahead and look at walking in His truth. Let's walk in His truth together tonight. See, every time we open the Bible, we need to expect God to reveal something about Himself. You cannot put God under a microscope. You cannot investigate God. You cannot go searching with a magnifying glass, because you know He's great big. You don't need to search for Him in the typical fashion. You don't even need to get out the telescope and try to look for Him in outer space. What you need to do is be a listener to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. He reveals Himself. God reveals Himself through revelation. He revealed Himself through His Word. He revealed Himself through His Son Jesus. And He's continuing to reveal Himself by the Holy Spirit in us. Not only what Jesus taught, reminding us of what Jesus taught, even carrying us into deeper truths. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus said, but the Holy Spirit will also tell you even deeper truths about the kingdom of God, take you even further. So we are to walk in these things. We have had to walk in His grace, but we also need to walk in His all power. All power. Do we live in the full potential of what God has available? Do you think we live in God's full potential, what He's made available for us? I don't either. I don't believe we have. I believe we've fallen short of really living into it. But the more we see God reveal Himself, the more we can walk in His truth and begin to tap into the potential that He's made possible. Even in our daily lives, even here on earth, regardless of what we're expecting heaven to be, it's going to be greater than anything we could expect. Most wonderful place in all the universe. We can't even begin to wrap our mind around what it will be. But what about right now? What about in the life that we're living now? Doesn't God want to unlock certain kingdom principles and promises and blessings? Of course He does. And so as we see God revealing Himself more and more, and then we don't just need to see it revealed, we need to walk in those revelations. And then we can begin to touch on that potential, touch in on that potential. I want to look at three main things that we need to kind of zero in tonight along with this. The choices we make every day, we're gonna bring these truths of God's incomprehensibility down to real life right now. Let's pull it down. Let's bring them down into our world, your reality right now. And so there's three things that we need to ask you tonight. Even the simple and most common choices that we make daily are going to be influenced by something. Of course, it can be influenced by how you... It can be influenced by your temperament. It can be influenced based on your experiences and your past. Your choices that you make daily will be impacted or reflecting things that are about your character. If we do not allow these truths of God to begin to affect our choices, then we are just living or thinking about God's realities on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night in this case, or when we do a devotion or a Bible study. We do not just need to walk in these truths when we're doing a devotion or reading the Bible. We don't just need to contemplate walking in these truths on Sunday morning. They need to go beyond that. So the first thing you need to ask yourself is, are you literally walking in the truth of God's Word? What is your literal walk? Are you really and truly striving to walk with God? Are you really and truly determined to apply God's truths to your personal lifestyle? Are you intent and faithful? Have you locked in a determination? What was the word that we were using there in Colossians? That we need to be genuine. We need to be locked in on it. The word was established. I drew a blank. Have we established our commitment to walk in that way that the Lord has provided? So are you determined? Are you literally walking? See, a lot of people give lip service to God. They say they're a Christian, but they walk with some other kind of limp. They walk with another style. They're not walking in God's way. They walk like the world, or they walk like who they're looking up to, or their idols, or they're walking based on their agenda or their definition of God that may not be correct, or their thinking based on how they were raised. Any concern to exploring and finding God for themselves, getting into the Word for themselves. And so there's a lot of things that can throw your walk off. But if you're going to literally walk with the Lord, you need to make Him a daily part. Let His truths influence your choices and decisions. Second question is, how you walk. How are you walking? How you walk is going to make a big difference. I remember, some of you may remember the wrestler, the Nature Boy, woo, and how he would walk down the ramp when he would come down the, some of you have seen. I remember my Uncle Jesse Parson, we've been praying for him because he had been battling COVID, which he's better, the Lord willing, God continue to touch him. But always, of course, he can't walk now. He's been wheelchair bound for a number of years now. But I remember back in his younger days when he was pastoring and I was him and my Aunt Catherine, I remember Jesse Parson had a strut. My uncle had a strut. Now, he would strut. I would try to walk like my Uncle Jesse. I remember as a little kid, I'd look up to that and I thought about it. He just had a strut about it, the way he walked. Some of you that know Uncle Jesse, some of you that are watching on Facebook, I know some of you from Williamston. Maybe if you attended a Bethany church, you remember Reverend Jesse Parson. He had a strut about him. And when we see Jesus walking in His way based on His teachings and His truths, we're to emulate His walk. We're to look up to His walk and want to walk like He does. Not obviously not a physical walk, but a spiritual walk. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is and peace. See, the Lord wants us not to walk in the flesh. The flesh, pinch yourself. We're all in the flesh. We are going to be in this flesh until we die, or the Lord raptures us out of this old world, rescues us from this old world. But we can choose whether we're going to walk after the desires of this carnal flesh, or we're going to walk in God's Spirit as He's revealing Himself to us. And so how you walk is critical. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. See, your flesh says, do whatever you feel like, regardless of whether it goes against God's walk or not. How are you walking tonight? Evaluate your walk. Are you walking in your flesh, in your carnal self? walking by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the third question that we need to ask ourselves, making sure that these truths are influencing our daily choices and our daily lives, is why you walk? Why are you walking? Well, the answer should be so that you can get to a certain destination. The destination is our goal. We're walking not just to get to heaven. Some people say, well, why you walk? Well, I want to get to heaven. Well, you're going to be walking a long time. The people in Babel thought they could build a tower to heaven, and God confused their thinking by changing their languages, and it scattered them all across the world. Well, you can't walk your way to heaven, but you can let God bring you there as He reveals Himself. The way you walk, your destination is to meet God. Your destination is to see who He is. But in truth, the blank that you may be saying, well, what is the answer to that blank? I'm going to tell you in just a moment what the answer to that next blank is as far as where the destination is. A little bit before I give you that answer. We're wanting to see God. We're wanting to meet God. Not just any God, but the God of the Bible. Again, you can have a false image of God in your brain. You can have poor examples of God. You may have even got a poor example of God in church. That's possible, yes. Church can show us a poor example of God. We can fail to emulate a good example of God. Parents, grandparents, pastors, Sunday school teachers, we can sometimes err in the picture of God that we're painting for people. And we need to repent of that. We say, Lord, forgive me for the times that my lifestyle does not reflect who you really are. I don't want the world to, when I'm acting ugly, if I'm treating somebody harshly, I don't want the world to think that's how God is. I want to live like the Lord would want me to. I want to please Him. I want to walk in with Him. I want to know how I'm walking is in line with what He teaches. And then I don't want to know why I'm walking. I see the real God. I'm walking to really have Him revealed. Now let's give an illustration of this. There's a physical walk and there's a spiritual walk, as I mentioned earlier. There's the walk that you do for your health. A lot of people now are wearing watches that count how many walks, steps you take. And it also tells you how many calories you burn. And there's Fitbit, and there's Apple Watch, and there's Samsung watches, and there's various type watches out there. And it tracks the calories you're burning, and your heart rate, and are you exercising, and how is your sleep patterns, and all these different things. And that's a big fad right now. But getting on a treadmill, there's one thing about it. You may burn calories. You may even get some exercise in, but you arrive nowhere. You absolutely are getting nowhere. You're getting absolutely nowhere. And sometimes if we have the wrong image of God, you can be claiming to be a Christian. You can even be going to church. You can even read the Bible every day. And if you've got a wrong image of God, you're getting nowhere. You want to know that where you're walking is leading you to a greater understanding of the true and living God. That's what this series is about, to make sure that we are reevaluating our image of who He is and enlarging Him, making sure that we're walking not just in a physical walk, but also a spiritual walk, because there's a balance. That's what the Bible teaches. It teaches a balance, all things in moderation. And these things that we're living, we got to make sure that there's a balance in the natural realm, in the spiritual realm, the physical realm, the supernatural realm. God wants to do that, because when we're really walking with Jesus, we're going to get somewhere. Amen. We are going to arrive at our destination. Now it's time to reveal to you what that destination is. Love is the destination. Love is the destination. Love is the definite destination daily. You say, what does that mean? I thought the destination was to see God. Well, God is love. The Bible says God is love. What is the very first commandment? Well, it's to have no other gods before you, of course. The first commandment is love the Lord your God and put Him first. You know, no other gods. And, of course, the second commandment is have no false image of gods, no graven images of God. Third commandment is that you're not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You're not to speak His name in an unhealthy way. Not just curses, but even the way if you claim to be a Christian or not living the Christian life, then you're taking His name, Christ, Christian, in vain. So we need to make sure that we're following that. But not only that, but we're supposed to be striving to show God we love Him. And Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments in this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so proof that you love God is loving others. Proof that you love others is loving God. They go hand in hand. And so love is the destination. God even gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Let's talk about that for a moment. Joy. Joy brings contentment. It's a representation of contentment, peace between you and God and you and others. That's what the whole Ten Commandments are about. And Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. In other words, he came to make it possible. Your trying to be good was not accomplishing it. You were still under the judgment of that perfect law. You could not. The Bible says that all men fall short of God's glory. You could not live up to it. But when you find God in Christ Jesus, when you let God be revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, God brought down to us, Emmanuel, as Christmas is a great time of reflecting it. He's God with us. Then you're to find contentment in him, peace with him and with others because of him. Kindness toward others is another fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. Show gentleness how you treat others. Patience. Show patience. Look, there's nothing worse than a Christian that is always just showing a bad attitude when they have to wait at a restaurant or having to wait at a store or having to wait on hold. My Lord, I was on hold the other day here at the church, and it just went on and on and on, the elevator music, and I must say it was stretching my patience. How many of you ever had that experience? And then you finally just give up and hang up on them. And you say, I could have driven there by now and asked them in person. Well, time is money, right? But anyway, you have that patience. You have to exercise faithfulness. See, God's faithful. Well, you need to be faithful to God. Being true to your word is a part of being faithful. Being true to your word. Be a man or woman of your word. Self-control is another one of those fruits of the Spirit. Showing temperance. Showing love toward others by being patient and not getting, you know, too befuzzled and angry and showing your temper. But being patient in the sense of not getting... But being kind and patient and self having self-control, which is another one, and goodness. God is good. We talked about that first Sunday. Letting God's qualities reflect in your daily life. That's the goodness that it's talking about. These are all daily choices. And it's not just about who you are. It's about who you are letting God be through you. These are his qualities, these fruits of the Spirit. You cannot have them unless you're walking in the Spirit. Let's move on to the next one. Number two is being rooted in Christ. See, we talked about this a little bit last week, that the manger, the feeding trough, Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a feeding trough, a manger, which is normally where those livestock would have fed on the hay or the grain. But this time, Jesus was rested in that little feeding trough. And it's a beautiful analogy of how that we receive our nourishment from God. We receive our nourishment through Jesus. Jesus is... Sister Elaine and I were talking the other day, and she said, I need food every day to survive physically, but I also need spiritual food every day to nourish my soul daily. And that was just, you know, a beautiful illustration, because, see, coming to church and Bible study are just two of the meals you receive. That's kind of like eating out. How many of you sometime eat out, right? You eat out. How many sometime eat at home? You probably, if you've got any money in the bank, you eat at home more often than you eat out. Yeah, unless you eat leftovers. But eating out is fun and it's good, but you also eat at home. You need to be studying at home, seeing God revealed at home through devotion, reading the Word and praying and worshiping. But you also need to be in Bible study and Sunday school and in church, corporate worship, like coming to church like tonight. Because coming together, like-minded people, a safe place where we can all glorify the same God, we're all pursuing, we're all on this walk, this journey together, amen? We're destination, and that destination is to see the true God. And if we're seeing the true God, then love is going to be reflected toward him and toward others. There's no way around it. If you see a Christian that's bitter and angry and always seems to have got a thorn in their side or a what is that, a spur in their saddle, you know, or and they're always got a sour attitude, their relationship with God's not healthy. They're not where they need to be with the Lord. They're not in sync with their walk. You got to be, you know, really wondering, are you literally trying to walk with God? How are you walking and why are you walking? And if those aren't lining up, then do you have the right revelation of who God is? Because if God's revealing himself to you and you're taking these things literally and walking literally, you're going to say, I am responsible now that he's revealed himself to me to begin to walk these things out in my real day-to-day little life, my lifestyle. Don't just give me lip service that you're a Christian. Show me and walk with the Lord. See, God wants to bring us to a and this goes to one of your blanks there too, a positional change. He wants to take us to a positional change. God took you out of Adam, out of the old life, the old self, and placed you in the new realm, his realm, through his son Christ Jesus. So when you're taken out of your realm, out of the natural realm, out of the curse of Adam, and you're placed in Jesus Christ, that sin curse no longer has authority over you. Now, there's going to be those temptations and that allure of the flesh as long as we're in this old body. But when we recognize that, like we talked about last week when we were talking about being shrunk, when you're shrunk, that's not a bad thing. When you feel like, oh man, don't go around beating yourself up and feel guilty. When you begin to realize that you have a gravitation toward maybe sin in some areas or temptation, just let that remind you, I need Jesus. He's the holy. And walking toward the holy. I need the holy. I'm not it. He is. I'm walking toward the holy. So when you begin to see yourself straying and you got, oh man, I got to stop this, and you repent and you turn back toward him, don't feel bad. Feel blessed. I know who the holy is. And when I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit, I'm directed to approach and to go to the holy. And he accepts my prayer of forgiveness. He accepts my repentance, and he's certainly willing to forgive. So there's been a positional change. You no longer are in Adam. You're no longer in the old man. You're no longer in the old you. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. Behold, all things have been made new. You're a new creation. You are now walking in the fullness of his life and letting him reveal more of himself to you. See, the Lord has deep supply. Now, we talked about this last week. Remember, God wants to constantly be pouring into your life. He's got limited to just this little bit of in this picture, but God has a well that is never runs dry. Amen. Old songs. He's got a well that never runs dry. He's constantly wanting to pour into us. He's constantly wanting to reveal more. Look at Isaiah 55 verse 1 and 2. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Verse 2, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? See, the poorest believer, or the seasoned, most seasoned believer, the youngest believer that knows very little about God, or the most, you know, Bible-educated believer, they all need the same nourishment. You don't ever get so knowledgeable of God and his word that you don't need him to pour more into your life. You constantly need him to pour into your life, rich or poor. You need free for everyone. He wants to reveal. He's not stingy. He'll continue to show you himself again and again to the table and sink your roots. He wants you to sink your roots deep into him because he's got plenty of nourishment. I mentioned last Wednesday that some plants have shallow roots. Some have roots that continue to grow the entire life of that tree or plant. We need to be like them. We need to let our roots continually grow deeper and deeper and deeper until we're dead or we're raptured. We don't ever need to let our roots become shallow. Don't ever feel like, oh, that's enough. I've been to church. I've heard enough sermons. I've read the Bible enough. I've got enough. I can just cut off the tap. No, you'll dry up and die. You'll become like that branch that can bear no fruit, and you'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. If you want to be able to bear the fruits of the kingdom and the fruits of the Spirit, you need to constantly be nourished by the source. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. if you ever get detached from me, if you don't abide in me, you won't be able to do the good things that God's called you to do. But if you remain in me and I in you, he said, you'll be able to do all things. You'll be able to do everything, God, that all things will be possible. Even if you have are having a hard time in your life right now, maybe even in your faith, I want to bring it to this thought tonight. If you're having a hard time in your faith, do you stop? Do you stop growing just because you're having a difficult time? Maybe you're in a battle right now. Maybe you're in a war zone. Maybe it's a private battle in your own self, you know, just in your own personal satisfying abilities. Or maybe you're in a battle with a family member. Or maybe you're in a battle financially. Or maybe you're in a spiritual battle. Maybe you're in a mental battle. Maybe you're in a relationship battle. I don't care what kind of battle it is. God is there with you if you're his, if you belong to him, if you're his child, and he wants to reveal himself to you. So don't stop when it gets hard. Amen? When it gets difficult. Psalms 23, David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, there is a war going on. Unlike battlefields of the physical, there is no banquet feast that's going to be stretched out in the middle of the battlefield. That's a picture, actually, of the Civil War, and you have a battlefield going on. You see the muskets and those cannons with those wheels. But look in the middle of that. If you look there, right in the middle of that battlefield, there's some turkey, there's some pudding, there's some, looks like ham with some with some pineapple on it. There's looks like a strawberry or cherry pie. Maybe, you know, making you hungry. I mean, there's a feast right in the middle of the battleground. That don't even make sense. Soldiers eat rations. They're dehydrated, or there's something they can tear open and eat quickly. They have to eat on the go. They don't get to set up a tablecloth and fork and spoon all put in the right place, and a folded napkin and a nice and then, you know, a pitcher, and then entrees that come out one at a time. No! If you're in the middle of a battle, you're going to have to eat something quick. Not in God's army. Psalmist says in Psalms 23 that God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Wow. He's preparing a feast. What does that mean? He's going to feed you with the meat. He's going to feed you with the best. He's going to reveal himself even in the middle of your war zone. Even in the worst battle that you're in, he's going to have the very best as long as you'll keep your eyes on him and make sure you're being rooted in the Lord. Let me tell you, if you don't eat the right things, you will eventually eat some junk food. If you don't eat healthy things, you're going to turn to junk food. You're going to either eat healthy or you're going to eat junk. That's one of your blanks, is junk food there. Sometimes, you know, it's okay, you know, physically, once in a while. I like pizza every once in a while. I needed a little boost today and had a taste for a Whopper. And I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I went and got me one. I got me a Whopper. And it tasted so good. And, you know, but I don't need to eat like that all the time. You don't need to either. You know, we've got to eat the right things, because if you live on junk food, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have a lot of different things that's going to work against you. It might be okay once in a while in the physical, but for the soul, don't turn to junk food. Don't just live off the, you know, the little quotes you see on Facebook. Don't just, you know, come to church and get a quick word and then live, you know, independent the rest of the week. You need to be walking intimately with the Lord Monday through Sunday, Sunday through Saturday, however you want to look at it, because that's what the Lord is willing to do for you. Very quickly, let me go to to this one. You need life on Christ. God's work. See, for us on the cross is the foundation. That's one of your blanks. God's work on the cross is our foundation. You can't improve on that foundation. You can't add to it. But we are given bricks to build on the foundation. God will ask one day, I gave you bricks and tools to build on the foundation. I provided the foundation. Did you build on them? Did you build on them with fear and trembling, working them outward? No, but I appreciate the foundation. That's not going to work. You can't look at God and say, wow, I really appreciate the foundation, but even though you provided all the tools for me to build on them, I haven't built nothing. But I still have the foundation. Well, that might work, you know, for the thief on the cross. It may even work for the person that dies, you know, has that deathbed experience. But of course, the foundation is what we need. But God's given us the ability to build on that foundation, on the truths. And that's our responsibility. The Bible says you to not do what you know to do is to you a sin. We're also responsible for what we know. We're accountable for what we've been taught. And you need to build on that foundation. And how do you do that? Living in them, letting them impact your choices on a daily basis. How do you do that? Well, we need to make sure we're committing, even tonight, we're committing to a construction project in our life. Maybe it's been a while since you've really been serious about walking with the Lord. I want you to look at the Lord tonight. I want you to just speak into your own spirit right now and toward the Lord in a way of prayer and say, God, I am determined to begin a construction project in my life. I want to begin to build on. Maybe you have built in the past, but you slowed down. Maybe you put away the tools and just kind of got a little satisfied, a little lazy about it. I don't care what your age, I don't care how far along you are in the Lord spiritually, if you're immature or mature, if you're young or old in the Lord, if you're an elder, fresh off of coming to Calvary, make sure you begin a construction project tonight. Lord, help me build on the truths you're revealing about yourself, because that's what the Lord wants to do. You're under construction. Can you say amen? You're under construction. But guess what? You've got all the tools. You've got the bricks. He's provided the tools. But look at this. If you just take this Bible study, Behold Your God, is another Bible study. Well, Pastor David's on this new little thing. He's got this book and he's got, you know, all you're going to have is a pile of bricks. I don't know of anybody that wants to come to a piece of property and find that. They want to see it laid and organized and constructed to be a home. If you have a brick home, you know what I'm talking about. If you came to your property tonight, if you got home tonight from work and that's what you found instead of your living room and your bedroom, there'd be some upset people. God wants us to build on what He's provided us. Now, we can't add to it in His Word or adding to God, but God wants to add to us. And the way we do that is by walking in His truths, and we will build on what He has provided. Then the fourth one. Well, before we get to that, let's fill in some blanks. Do we build a godly thought life? You better be building a godly thought life. These are evidences. These are evidences that you're building a godly life. Bless you. Do we build a godly thought life? Here's another one. Do our words show that we are building on God's truth foundation? Or you could say, does our mouth show that we are building on God's truth foundation? See, you can tell, you know, some people say, you know, I can tell a construction worker a mile away. You know, you could see somebody, they've got a hard hat on, they're going to be wearing a certain amount of clothes, they may be a little dusty, they may have a tool belt on. You're going to be able to tell if they're building. Well, people should be able to tell that you're not only a Christian, but you're building on the truths of God's Word. They should be able to tell how you talk to others. God should be able to tell by your thought life. Now, I know we all stumble in that area, and we ask forgiveness, and we ask the Lord to help us. We pray, Lord, help my thought life to be committed to you, just like Psalmist David prayed, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Another way people can tell, is our family plans built on these truths? Is our family built on these truths? The Lord wants us to be building our lives on Him. One of the things that that we'll look at here is the goals of our study. The third goal of this Behold Your God, number three, we talked about the first one and second one last Wednesday, and it's on your sheet if you've got one, number one and two. But the third one, you'll see a little square around it this time. I put some squares around them. That is the third goal of this study. We have clarity about what God is doing and are anchored in Him. That's the definition of establish yourself in the faith, that you're anchored to what God's shown you. You're clear on what God's shown you, and now you're also going to have clarity of what God is doing in you. You know He's working in your life. We need to become mature in the truths of Christian beliefs, not tossed around like waves, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:14. We are not satisfied with half-digested concepts. Let the truths that you're learning in this Bible study, at the home study that you're doing in your book, because after tonight you need to start on week two, start working on week two, or finish up week one this week and hopefully start on week two very soon. But you need to be anchoring yourself in these truths and letting them be established, be clear about them, and have a clarity. I've said this before, when you're walking with the Lord and you're in the presence of the Lord, it can give a sense of clarity to your mind. Let me tell you this one. It is impossible to progress happily as a believer without gratitude. That's one of your blanks, gratitude. To progress happily as a believer without gratitude. Now, an unbeliever, if they hold God and His truths at a distance, they may feel safe. They say, well, you know, I'm going to hold God at a distance. Every truth they learn about God will be terrifying. And they're going to keep it at a distance. I want you to think of Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to flip that around. Flip that around. If God is against us, think about it. If God is against us, does it really matter who is for us? That's a powerful thought. That's what you're talking about, being clear of who you're following, being clear of who you're seeing, being clear at what God's revealing to you about Himself. Very quickly, I know we're at 8 o'clock. I want you to hear from John Snyder himself teach on this just for a second.
Well, you begin and you see who He is. It's a terrifying thing to think that that is the God that I'm holding off. That is the God I'm at war with. But for the Christian, every one of these truths, this is my God. This is my King. This is my friend, my Savior, my Father. And there ought to be a deep-seated gratitude in us.
That is the final one. I mean, when you see Him, He's so big, He's so wonderful, He's so gracious. If you're really seeing Him literally on a daily walk with Him, you're going to have gratitude in your heart. Let's look at our final scripture tonight. We look at these, gratitude applies. Are you known as a grateful Christian? That's one of your blanks. Are you known as a grateful Christian? But let's look at our final scripture, Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48b. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits, you will serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. I'm telling you, if you want to be able to walk firmly established in these truths, you need to walk and build on them and root in them and establish them and have gratitude, all of them together. Amen. See, in Christ, we will walk, root, build, and establish. Don't let yourself be kidnapped by worldliness. That's the last blank. Don't let yourself be kidnapped by worldliness. I'm not going to elaborate on that because we're out of time, but I did want to just share those last ones with you. We'll recap just briefly next week, God willing. But I want to encourage you, have a Merry Christmas. We're going to strive, the Lord willing, to do kind of like we did tonight. We'll do Facebook Live format, but if you would like to come in the sanctuary, as long as you're well, you're not sick, you don't feel bad, or you know you've not been exposed, not, you know, based on your best understanding, that you've not been exposed, then of course you can.